John chapter 5. Better get over this foolishness and get to preaching. But this is I love this text tonight. It's one of my favorite verses in the Bible. The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, and we're looking at verse 14 and 15. That's where we're at tonight. And we're coming on down to the end of the book. And the Bible says, this is the confidence that we have in Him, in the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Now, I want to tell you something. That's a brazen statement. That is an in-your-face, not kind of, not coming around the mulberry bush somewhere. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. Watch verse 15. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. I want to say tonight, right off the bat, I never have been a great prayer. But let me tell you what I have had. I've had some great people praying for me for a long time. I mean to tell you, God, I don't know why God did this years ago, but when I first started preaching, and still yet this day, I'll get letters or phone calls from somebody I don't hardly know, and they'll say, you know, the Lord just laid on my heart to pray for you every day. And I've never, I'm just not trying to sound religious, humble or nothing, or meek, nothing like, I just never was a great prayer. I like prayer. It's important. I understand it and all that. Now, second thing I want to tell you is this, now I don't understand everything about prayer. I've tried to find a class on prayer, can't ever have found one. And you can't find classes on prayer. You find a few books on prayer. But prayer, I don't understand everything about it, but I'm going to tell you this much. Thirdly, prayer is very, very real. And prayer works. And I want to encourage you tonight to become a person of prayer. If you don't ever do anything else in your life, be honest with me about it. We don't need more preachers. I mean, we do, but we don't need more teachers and singers and this, that, and the other, and this, that, and the other. I'll tell you what we're in need of is prayers. Because without prayer, it's like they said in Sunday school class this morning, nothing's going to happen. The band's talking about it today, nothing's going to happen. I want you to read that again with me. It said, this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. One of my favorite verses on prayer is in the book of Matthew, where it says, and thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and He which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. That's an exciting verse. I'll tell you, I've done that. If you've never done that, y'all do that. Y'all just get centered on your mind, something that's real important to you, and just go to some closet. I got a clothes closet there in our bedroom. And once in a while, I'll walk in that clothes closet, and I will shut the door, and I will get on my knees, and I'll quote that verse to God. And I want to tell you, time after time after time, my Heavenly Father has done just exactly what He said He would do. He said, you shut that door. Now, you don't have to go into a closet. You might go out in the woods on a stump. You might get away somewhere where but the idea is to get totally somewhere where nobody can hear you, and you know nobody can hear you. And you're totally alone with God. And you're praying in secret. Somebody has said the secret to prayer is praying in secret. Another one of my favorite verses in prayer says, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father give good things to them that ask Him? I believe God means that. Let me tell you tonight, if you're saved, you've got a wonderful Heavenly Father. He loves you more than you can imagine, cares about you more than you can imagine, and He's interested in hearing from you. Now, I'm going to confess tonight that my mom and daddy, they're getting up in years, and one of my great convictions is that I don't go see them as much as I ought to. But I found out something about mom and dad. I don't know why. They like me to come down. Mom and dad, do you like me to come down? Yeah, and they just kind of act like it tickles. You know what I think about mom and dad a lot? When my kids come by and see me, or my kids take time to stop and visit me in my land, that's the height of my day. And I get thinking, Reggie, if you like to visit with your kids, you like to be with your kids involved in their lives and stuff, how much more does your daddy or your mom want to be involved? And then I take that to my Heavenly Father and I say, you know what, Reggie? Why did He give us this scenario of Heavenly Father? Why did He build these relationships like? Because He wants you to understand He really is, honestly, your Heavenly Father, and He really does enjoy hearing from you. He really, really does. But look at this. The book of 1 John, and we've just about through it, is a book about clarity in your Christian life. God don't want no fog in your mind. God wants you to know whether you're saved. He wants to know whether you're lost. He wants you to know whether you're in fellowship or out of fellowship. He wants you to know whether you're walking in the light or walking in darkness and all those things. And He gives you all those things that can help build clarity in your Christian life. Christianity is not a walk in the fog. Christianity is light. God is light, and in Him dwells no darkness. And God wants you to know where you're at. He don't want you wandering, wishing, hoping so might be, maybe so. It's clarity. But it's also a book of confidence. God wants you to be confident. Their confidence is a wonderful thing, to be confident. Amen. I love confidence. And it's a book of boldness, it's a book of assurance, and it's a book of knowing. Many, I think 20-some times the word know or knoweth or known is in that book. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, the Bible said that we may have confidence and not be ashamed before Him at His coming. God wants you to be confident when it comes time for you to meet the Lord. He doesn't want you dreading to meet God. He doesn't want you dreading judgment. He doesn't want you fretting and worrying about it. He wants you to be living in such a way and have such a relationship and walking in the Lord in such a way that you can look forward and anticipate meeting the Lord, whether it be through the door of death or through the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 21, it says that speaks of confidence toward God. It said, brethren, if our heart condemn us not, we have confidence toward God. Isn't that a wonderful thing that God is telling you that He wants you to have confidence toward Him? Now, let me tell you something. That's when you're going to have peace. That's when you're going to have some enjoyment out of life, when things are right between you and the Lord, and right between you and others, and you just have peace and confidence. Now, in 1 John 4:17, the Bible said that we may have boldness. Now, this is all in that same book, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Think about that. Oftentimes, we have an approach about, and I realize that judgment is, you know, the dreadful day of judgment. But you know what? The Bible says that we can have boldness in the day of judgment. The Bible said, let us come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find help in time of need. There's something about God that He wants us to have boldness and confidence. I don't think my daddy would want me to just, you know, not be confident that He's my dad, and he wouldn't want me to be confident that I can talk to Him or that I could ask Him or talk to Him if I had a need. That's not the way He wants to operate. Neither does your Heavenly Father want to operate that way. He wants you to He wants to have a close fellowship with you, an intimate relationship with you, and He wants to walk with you. God came down to Adam to walk with him in the cool of the day. I want to tell you something. We've got some kind of God, amen, that takes time for you and interested in you individually. And in 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 through 15, it's telling us here we can have confidence in prayer. Now, let me tell you something tonight. I know you know this, but I'm not going to tell you anything tonight that you don't already know. We're not praying, when we pray, to some phony baloney fantasy God dreamed up by the imagination of some man. Amen. We are praying to the God of the Bible, to the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God that created this world, the God who is worthy of our worship, worthy of our adoration, and He invites us to come and to talk to Him and pray to Him. We are talking to the good. There's been times when I have felt such a spirit of oppression and opposition when I've been praying, that I've just stopped and said, Lord, I'm coming to You as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of the Bible, just in case the devil wants to know who I'm talking to. I ain't just praying to some spook out in the air or some idol somewhere. I'm talking to the God, the living God, the eternal great I Am, who hears and answers prayer. And the Bible said we're to come boldly into His presence. Hebrews 10:35 says, and we're told, He said, watch this verse, listen to it. Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. Cast not away your confidence. Let me tell you what you need. The Bible said, he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. The worst thing that you can get into is doubting that God exists, and doubting that God hears, and doubting that God cares, and doubting that God's interested. Now, let me say something to you. If you think that you don't need God, then it really don't matter to you tonight. You can just go ahead and do what you want to. The rest of us are going to talk about needing God and praying. Amen? And you'll get there one of these days. Just hang on long enough. The Bible said in verse 36 of Hebrews 10, for ye have need of patience, that after ye have, watch this, done the will of God, you might receive the promise. That connects because it says in our text here tonight that if we ask anything according to His will, we'll get into that just a little bit. It's interesting that in the Bible, the disciples never said, Lord, teach us to preach. Lord, teach us to be missionaries. Lord, He never did say, Lord, teach us to witness. It said, never did say, Lord, teach me to sing. Lord, teach me to praise. Lord, please teach us to worship. Never did say that. But the disciples did say, Lord, teach us to pray. They understood through Jesus' life that everything he did, he prefaced it with prayer. If you follow the life of Jesus Christ, every major event that ever happened to him, he constantly was in prayer and in communion and obeying the will of his Father, and his prayers were heard and answered. But God does tell us, he does teach us that we're to be taught to pray. There's no way tonight to overemphasize prayer in the Christian life. The Bible tells us to pray always. It says to pray without ceasing. It says that in everything with prayer. We're to pray about everything. Pray about a parking spot. Pray about, oh my, pray about everything. You know what, you ought to get up in the morning and say, good morning, Lord, it's good to see you. You say, I can't see him. Well, you can see him through the eye of faith, amen. And Lord, thank you for the good night of rest. Now, Lord, I'm going to put off the old man, put on the whole armor of God, and put the new man on. And Lord, I'm going to praise you and worship you, and I'm headed out. And Lord, I need oil in my lamp for today, and I need to be filled with the Spirit and walk with God. Lord, would you help me? Lord, let's go get him. Amen. Every day you ought to do that. You ought to talk to God. You ought to pray about everything. And the Bible tells you ought to believe. And the Bible talks about prayer even to the point of crying out to God. Now listen, when you start crying out, you're getting fervent. The Bible talks about a woman in travail, and that talking about that urgency, that travailing. And if you've never cried out to God, I tell you what, you will wind up at the shrink if you don't. You're going to wind up taking nerve pills. You never have to take nerve pills if you learn how to cry out to God. I'm telling you the honest truth now. It'll relieve all the anxiety, take all the pressure off of you. Listen to me tonight. David said, this poor man cried. I know we don't want nobody to hear us. We don't want anybody to think we needed God that bad. But I'm telling you, you read your Bible, especially you read the Psalms, you'll find out that David cried out to God. That's cried out with a loud voice, crying out to God. And that's a further deal on prayer. It's prayer, but then it moves on into crying out. And the Bible talks about prevailing and continuing and persevering in prayer. Well, do that. I'm going to give you a few things tonight. We got it. Number one, what amazes me about this passage of Scripture and this whole book is our acceptance. I want you to write this down or in your soul tonight. Number one is our acceptance in prayer. We're talking about confidence. Why can you have confidence? Number one, because you're accepted. You're accepted. You know what? Zachary, he went up to Tim Watson's house one time. And I don't know why he went up there for several years ago. And he come home and he said, Daddy, I think Tim likes me. I said, son, you're crazier than a bed bug. You're just accepted in the beloved. Yeah. Y'all didn't catch it, did you? You think your mother-in-law likes you. No, she don't. You're just accepted in the beloved. I want to get this home to you. You're accepted in the beloved. You're accepted in the presence of God in the beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ. This is my beloved son. Zachary, that was a big lie, wasn't it? Wasn't no truth to nothing I said. But the truth about it, I was just using, trying to get some illustrating there that, you know what, listen, I was accepted, but well, for a few years I was accepted in Karen's family by the beloved. Karen's her beloved daughter, see? And so they accept me. They put up with me. I get to go to Thanksgiving and Christmas. I'm accepted in the beloved. And you're accepted in the beloved. Boy, tonight I want to tell you something. Aren't you glad that God accepts you tonight? I'm glad in Jesus' name we're accepted in the beloved. The Bible said in Hebrews 10:19, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus Christ. Do you know what God accepts? You say, well, he accepts our fumbling prayers, don't he? You know what? We're praying and we still don't believe. We're just like those folks praying for Peter to get out of jail. Oh, God, get Peter out of jail. Oh, God, get Peter. Peter comes up there and knocks on the door. I'm going to tell him God got on and says, oh, you're mad. You're crazy. God ain't answered our prayer. That's how we are. But God still accepts our God still accepts our weakness. You know what? I want to tell you, go to God in prayer. He'll accept your sorrows. He has carried your sorrows and borne your griefs, the Bible said. God accepts your tears. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. You don't want to hurt you to cry. That'll also keep you from taking nerve pills. Amen. I'll tell you what you get on. I'll tell you, it'll do you good to have a good old cry every once in a while. Be you tender hearted. Be you tender. Jesus wept at the tomb of Lazarus. God will accept your burdens. He said, bring your burdens to me. Cast all your burdens upon me. And he said, I'll sustain you. You know, God will even accept your bewilderment. Sometimes you go to God and say, Lord, I don't understand. How many's ever said, Lord, I don't understand what's going on? Boy, I have many times. God, what is going on in my life? I don't understand, God, why? I don't understand. You know what? God wants you to go ahead and just unload that on him. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your soul. You ought to just back your truck up and just say, Lord, I've got a bunch of confusion, a bunch of bewilderment. I got a bunch of things I don't understand. I'm going to put it on you, Lord, and cast all my care on you, because Lord, I know you care for me. And you just do it by faith. Amen. You just do it by faith. And you know what? God wants you to, he'll accept your doubts. He'll accept your fears and He'll accept your worries and your cares. God wants you to bring all that stuff to Him. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we will not carry everything to God in prayer. God wants you to bring your dreams to Him. He wants you to bring your dreams to Him. God says, if you fulfill them in the right way, if you ain't careful, you'll make a mess of it. But you bring your dreams and your desires. And you know what? God will even ask you to bring your disappointments to Him. And God will take those disappointments and turn them into something. 20 years later, you can turn around and say, Lord, I sure do thank you for that disappointment. I didn't understand it then, but Lord, I do thank you now. And that old song says, I must tell Jesus. Jesus can. Oh, we ought to quit telling everybody else and tell Jesus. Amen. We ought to quit telling everybody else and tell Jesus. The old song says, tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. Listen to this. We've no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus alone. God wants you to pray. He's telling you you're accepted tonight. Some of you mess up, you sin. You're just almost as bad, not quite as bad as your preacher. And you messed up, you sin. And you think, God won't listen to me. God's not interested. Oh, the devil propped up a scripture and said, every regard of iniquity in your heart, the Lord will not hear you. That's right, that's right. I ain't talking about regarding it. I'm talking about just being honest about it. But don't let me tell you, just because you sin, get that sin confessed, get back in the will of God. And I'm telling you something. Listen, if God's waiting for you to be perfect, He would never save you to start with. Amen. Amen. He ain't waiting for you to get perfect. I'm telling you, listen, God wants you to talk to Him. You sinned. You ain't right with God. You got sin in your life. Get on your face somewhere and say, confess it. Be honest about it. Tell it like it is. Don't hedge around it. Don't go around the mulberry bush. Tell it. Amen. Tell God what it is. Confess it. Get right. We're told, cast in all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Now listen. Talk to your Father, you're accepted. Number two, you not only have acceptance with your Heavenly Father. That's good, isn't it? You know, isn't it good? Can you believe this, that you've got acceptance with the God of glory? But number two, you have access. Now, let me tell you tonight, I ain't got access to the Oval Office. I just don't have access to the Oval Office. I wouldn't mind spending 15 minutes with Him there. I really wouldn't. I really would. I would if I could, but I ain't got access to the Oval Office. But you know what? I do have access to the throne of glory. I've got access to the Holy of Holies and the most holy place, to the God of glory. And that's a lot bigger place than the Oval Office by a million miles. Amen. I may not have access to the Oval Office, but I've got access to God's throne. And God is listening tonight when I pray. Now I'm going to lay my head on my pillow after a while and I'm going to say goodnight, Lord. It's been a good day. I thank you for helping me preach another Sunday. And Lord, while I'm asleep, would you watch them cows? And don't let them get my baby kids out there in the field. Yeah, I tell God little things like that. And He watches over and He takes good care of them. And then I say, Lord, by the way, they're yours tonight. Oh, I tell you, He knoweth our frame. He knows we're but dust. He pitieth as a father pitieth His children. God knows we ain't got much sense. Amen. Amen. But we've got acceptance and we've got access. Oh, Chaim Weizmann was needing to get in to see Harry Truman to get the United States to support Israel on the vote after the partition of Israel in 1948. Oh, George Marshall and all. He says, Harry, don't let him in. Don't let him in. And Harry Truman, he said, don't nobody send Chaim Weizmann. They ain't coming in here. But one day, a little knock on the door came and a little fella, bald-headed Jew named Harry Jacobson told the secretary, he said, tell President that Harry Jacobson Jacobson's here to see him. And he was, said, little fella here said, name of Harry Jackson, said, you'd probably like to see him. He said, tell Harry to get his side on in here. Yeah. And he can in the Oval Office. And he said, Harry, what are you doing here? He says, Harry, Mr. President, he said, I ain't never come to ask you for nothing. I just want one thing. He said, what's that, Mr. Jacobson? That's a funny name, isn't it? Jacobson. He said, I want you to let Chaim Weizmann come in and talk to you about supporting the nation of Israel. I'm not telling you to support him. I'm just asking you to hear him out. He's been trying to get to you. And Harry said, all right. Now he said, how's we going to do this? We're going to bring him in the back door and the press ain't going to know about it. And I've got it on a video clip where Harry Truman says, and them two Jews put it over on me and I changed my mind and decided to support Israel. See, Chaim Weizmann didn't have access, but Harry Jacobson did. Let me tell you something tonight. You've got access. The Bible said we have access to God through our Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit. Brother, we've got access to God. I can be a preaching and you can be a praying and you can be talking to God. Now, isn't that something else? Did you also know I can be a preaching and praying at the same time? Yeah, I've even auctioneered and prayed at the same time. Lord, please make somebody bid on this stupid thing. And oh, he's answered prayer many a time. All of a sudden, somebody's hand would go up and I say, where'd that come from, heaven? Amen. Oh, listen, we really are talking to God. He really is listening tonight. Amen. Romans 5:2 says, by whom, the Lord Jesus Christ, we have access by faith into this grace. My, 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 my. This great big old buckets of grace up there tonight. And God says, got access to it. You need some more grace? He said, my grace is sufficient. So why don't you come on up and get some? But he giveth more grace. But we not only have access and we have an advocate, but we have, oh, I done told it. We have an advocate. We have acceptance. We have an access, but we have an advocate. The Bible said in 1 John 2:11, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. He said, any man sin, he said, the blood of the, he said, these things are right unto you that you sin not. I don't want you to sin. But if any man sin, we have an advocate, Jesus Christ the righteous. You say, Reggie, what are you talking about? I've got a lawyer. I've got an attorney. I've got one who stands in and pleads my case every time. And he shows the side and he shows his hands and he pleads the blood that's been sprinkled on the mercy seat. And he said, Lord, he's in me. And he said, I've paid for his sin. And Lord, would you hear his prayer in my name? He's accepted in the beloved. And I have an advocate tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ, one standing for me at the mercy seat tonight, whoever lives to make intercession for us. Oh, he says, pray. You have confidence because you got acceptance. You can have confidence because you got access. And you can have confidence because you got an advocate. And you can have confidence because you got an ally. Amen. The Bible said in Romans chapter 8, verse 20, you got an ally, the Holy Ghost of God. You say, Lord, Pastor, sometimes I don't even know how to pray. I don't know how to pray most of the time. But here's what the Bible said. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not how to pray as we ought. We ought to pray, what we should pray for as we ought. Watch this. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us according to the will of God. Did you know what? While we're stumbling around trying to pray and we don't know how to pray, we're not sure what to pray, we don't know, we're still stuck. The Holy Ghost of God. Listen to me tonight. The Bible's teaching you as clear as a bell that the Holy Ghost of God is praying and making intercession for you and taking up where you left off, taking up where you don't know how to pray, and he's praying for you. You have an ally in your prayer life, the Lord, the Holy Ghost of God. The Bible said, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be heard. And he that, watch this, he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Isn't that something? When you don't know how to pray, you got somebody praying with you. Somebody taking it on through for you. So we have acceptance. We've got access. We've got an advocate and we've got an ally. So you know what God says? Ask. 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 Confidence. God wants you to have confidence. Now let me tell you something. You read that passage of Scripture, you'll find out He not only wants you to have confidence, but He wants you to have conditions. Now listen to me now. There's conditions to prayer. I'll just mention a few of them briefly. First of all, you got to believe. He that cometh to God must believe that He is and that He's rewarded. He said, you know, if you doubt when you pray, He said, you're unbelief. You got to believe. Matthew 21:22 says, whatsoever ye shall ask in prayer, believing, ye shall receive. Mark chapter 9 says, all things are possible to him that believeth. Second thing, I could stay there quite a while, but surely to goodness not, we believe that he is. Okay. The second thing is we're going to pray in Jesus' name. Now, we're not talking about a little repetitious, put on the tape recorder in Jesus' name, I pray, amen. That's some little pigtail to your prayer. That ain't praying in Jesus' name. When you pray in Jesus' name, then you're praying in the character and the life and the manifestation of who Jesus Christ is and what He stands for. And if you're praying contrary to that, you're not praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Saying the words in Jesus' name does not mean you're praying in Jesus' name. Oh Lord, I want a new Mercedes-Benz. In Jesus' name, amen. Oh Lord, I want a new wife. In Jesus' name, amen. That ain't praying in Jesus' name. When you're praying in Jesus' name, you're reflecting who He is. And you're praying according to His character and His righteousness and His holiness and His truth. That's when you're praying in Jesus' name. John 14 says, and whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Verse 14 says, if ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. The same, very same language written in the Gospel of John that you see in the book of 1 John. The third thing, condition of prayer tonight, you got believing, you've got, what did I say there? In Jesus' name. And then thirdly, abiding in Him. John 14:15-7 says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done. There's a condition to prayer tonight. You've got to be abiding in Him, and His Word has to be abiding in you. You can't just be living in rebellion to the Word of God and expect God to hear and answer prayer. You can't be running contrary to the will of God and expect God to answer prayer. And I don't care what some TV evangelist told you. I'm telling you, God's in the prayer answering business, but He's not going to answer stuff. There's times when God will give you something, but He'll send leanings to your soul. He'll give it to you so you learn not to want it no more. Bible said they wanted flesh. He'd give them flesh till it come out their nose. But our text gives what I think is one of the greatest conditions of prayer there is. He said, according to His will. I want to ask you tonight, when you pray, are you praying according to His will? His will. Now listen, we're talking about serious business tonight. Unless you've been in the waiting room at the ICU unit and somebody comes out and the doctor tells the family that we're going to lose him. They're not going to be here in 30 minutes. And you saw that family throw their arms around each other and fall to the floor and start begging God to save them and not let them die. You don't be careful about your praying. You don't watch what you're doing here. You don't know something. I've had to tell families, listen, it's appointed unto men once to die. I don't know the will of God right now. I don't know the will of God about this. I don't know. I know you'd like for them to live, and I'd like for them to live, and I'd like for them to get better, and I'd like for them to come through. But I want to tell you something, folks. I've prayed for God to do it, and sometimes it didn't happen. And you have too, and you will. Let me tell you something about the secret of prayer. If Jesus Christ prayed, Father, not my will, but thy will be done. It would behoove you and I to pray, thy will be done. After we've told God our request, it would behoove us to say, thy will be done. I am not among those who are commanding God what to do. Now, I'll lay hold of His promises. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory. Lord, that's what you were. I will lay hold of His promises. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old and not depart from it. I'll lay a hold of His promises. And I'll bring His promises to the mercy seat and say, Lord, this is not my words, these are your words. And that's by the way, is the prayer of faith. Faith comes by hearing, hearing comes by the Word of God. Praying the prayer of faith is praying the Word of God back to Him.
Amen.
Okay? But we need to pray according to Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done. The Lord's Prayer, when we're taught to say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, there's three things about praying in the will of God. I'll try to do this very quickly. Number one, we must, first of all, desire God's will. I want to ask you tonight, do you desire God's will? I want the will of God in my life. You see, to claim that we're praying according to the will of God and have no desire for the will of God in our life is a contradiction. It ain't going to work. I want to ask you tonight, do you, oh Lord, I want my life to be in your will. I want your will for my life. Number one, desire the will of God. Number two, discern the will of God. You say, Richard, how do I discern the will of God? By reading the Scriptures. By reading the Word of God. You praying, you talking to God. You reading the Bible, God talking to you. And God will reveal His will to you. Now, there's several things that are the known will of God. It tells you the Scripture, He's not willing that any perish, and so forth, and that you present your body a living sacrifice, and so forth like that, and your mind be renewed. There's different things. Your sanctification, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. But what about, Lord, I'm thinking about, I need a truck. I don't know which truck to buy. Or, Lord, I don't know whether I should buy it now. Lord, I don't know whether we should buy this house or not. I don't know, Lord, whether I should let that doctor operate on me or should I not take this surgery. See what I'm saying? What is the will of the Lord? Go to scriptures and go in prayer and find discern the will of God about it. You say, Reggie, how do I discern the will of God? When it's just not written out in ink, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts to the which you're called. If you don't have peace about it, you're not in the will of God. God's Holy Spirit will give you peace when you're in the will. And when you start walking in the light that you have, Lord, is it your will for this relationship with this person to get going? Is it your will for me to be married to this person? Lord, should I ask this girl to marry me, or should I accept his proposal, or should I even facilitate this relationship? Lord, what do you want me to do in life? Search the scriptures. Desire the will of God, first of all. If you don't have a desire for it, why would God even bother to show you? The big question is not whether we know the will of God. It's whether we'd do it if we knew it. And that's the third thing. Then do the will of God. Once you have a desire for the will of God, and then you discern the will of God, none of that really matters if you're not willing to do the will of God. That's where a lot of folks jump off the wagon at. His will wasn't their will, so they're, God, sorry, I'm not if you went along with me, God, it'd been great. But I was trying to get you to go along with me, Lord. But since you're not going along with me, then see you later. Desire his will. Say, not my will, but thy will be done. Discern his will. I really don't believe that you have any potential to discern his will till you've desired his will. What's the use of him doing that? What's the use of him revealing to you his will in your life if you have no desire for it? And if you're not going to do it, why should he give you this discernment to know his will? How many of you have ever jumped into something and you really didn't spend time in prayer discerning the will of God about it? Me too. Whew. Oh, my, that's terrible. That's some of the worst things we've ever done, isn't it? We just jumped in presumptuously. We just like the children of Hebrew, the Hebrew children, well, they just got through whipping Jericho. Thought, man, that was easy. Let's go get Ai. God said, you're going to, you know, and they, after Achan's due, you know, they're going up there and all this stuff, you know. The Bible said they went up presumptuously. You know what they did? They didn't check about the will of God. And they went presumptuously to do it. Presumption is the opposite of faith. Faith is when you're in the will of God and the Word of God about something. Presumption, when you kind of, Lord, I'm getting ready to do this. Would you like to go with me? Yeah. It would be nice if you want to go with me. If you ain't go with me, I'll do it anyway. But I am going to take the time to ask you to come along with me. That's kind of the way we run our life. It's my will, not thy will. That's what gets us in trouble. So we've got, in this text tonight, we've got confidence in prayer. I want you to believe that tonight. I want you to have confidence in prayer. Be confident. Listen, he shed his blood, put it on the mercy seat for you to have access and acceptance. And God wants you to come. I want you to have confidence in prayer. Boy, I'm a big believer in this. I've got three or four notebooks of journal since 1988 where I've wrote things down. I don't write in every day. I do good nowadays to write in one day a week. But I write in there. I write in my Bible. I showed my boys something I wrote in my Bible on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve. I showed my boys, I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, was 6 years apart where I wrote about something we prayed about. And I want you to have confidence. I want you to believe God. I want you to be like Abraham. I want you to stagger not at the promises of God. I want you to believe when there's no reason to believe other than you just trust God. You just know God. I want you to keep praying when you're tired of praying, when you don't see a shred of evidence. I want you to keep praying. If I could implant one thing, I don't know why God did this to me, but he did. I just had that in me. I just believe. I just believe. I just have confidence. Let me tell you tonight, I'm just so honored that if I didn't have confidence that God hears and answers prayer, I would never again open my mouth toward God. I wouldn't get on my knees tonight beside my bed. My mother-in-law, bless her heart, she brought me a sheepskin years ago, real nice sheepskin. And I've got it right beside my bed on my side of the bed. And God being my helper every night of my life, I kneel down on that sheepskin. And when I kneel down on that sheepskin, I remember that that sheepskin represents the slain Savior, the Lamb of God who died for me. And upon the basis of His death and His shed blood, I can come to my Heavenly Father before I go to bed tonight and I can talk to Him. and say, Lord, I love you, and I appreciate the good day you've given me, and I appreciate the answers to prayer, and I appreciate the blessings of life. God, you've been so good to me. I want you to have confidence, but I don't want you to forget there's conditions. You need to be in His will. And what I'm going to finish up with tonight, I want you to listen to me very carefully about prayer, because one of the worst things you can ever do is take a verse like this, go pray about it, and it doesn't turn out like you prayed, and then the devil torments you about God, prayers that they don't really happen. It just happened that way. Now, let's go in behind the veil for just a little bit tonight, behind where nobody knows about our thinking. The devil ever told you that there's no such thing as answered prayer? It either happens or it doesn't happen. Has he ever told you that? He has me. That thought has run through my mind different times in my life. Why, it didn't make no difference, Reggie. That was going to happen anyway. Well, look at those folks over there. They don't even claim to be Christians or pray. It just, you think you had prayer answered. It just happened, Reggie. Wasn't really prayer answered. No, devil's a liar. He's the father of lies, okay? And I'm going to give you something out that'll help you in your prayer life after you've prayed, after you've discerned the will of God as best you know and tried to do the will of God so that you're praying according to the will of God so you can know that you have the thing that you ask. I'm going to give you something right now. Number one, sometimes this is the consummation of prayer. This is the ending of, this is the answer. What happens as a result of your prayers? Number one, God may answer your prayer directly. I have had prayers answered almost as I prayed them. The Bible says, while you're yet speaking, I will hear. The other night, we were doing the study on Abraham's servant who went after Rebekah the bride. How many knows that while he was praying at that well, God heard and answered him? God just answered direct. I've had God answer direct. Sometimes God call upon me, I'll answer thee and show thee great mighty things without knowing not. Sometimes God just answers prayers directly. It's the way it is. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes God delays. Sometimes it's direct answer. But I'll tell you, many a time, God will delay the answer. Wait upon the Lord. Over and over again, the Bible tells us. Wait upon the Lord. Wait upon the Lord. Stand still. Wait upon the Lord. God's timing is not our timing. It may take years. But there's one thing I want you to always remember, that God is working. I will tell you this tonight without going into detail, that some of the toughest, roughest stuff I've ever been through in my life, some of the things I prayed for the most earnestly out in the field on my knees, and it looked like God said no, but it wasn't no. It was delay. It was delay. Some of the biggest prayers that God's ever answered for me has been 5, 6, 10, and 12, 15 years after I've prayed them. That's why you want to document your prayers. That's why you want to write it down. And sometimes in my Bible I'll be reading and my mind's thinking about my praying, and all of a sudden God gives me a verse and I'll write that, and I'll pray that concern in my life, and I'll write down 2, 16, 14. Prayed this or whatever, see, or mentioned it. I might make a little deal that I know what, you know. And I go back through reading 3 or 4 years later, and sometimes, you know, my land of living, God answered that prayer. And I don't know how you are, but if I don't write down sometimes, I forget that God even answered it. And He's answered it. I listen to me tonight. Please, young people, listen to me. Sometimes God answers directly, but sometimes God delays prayer. When He delays, don't get despaired. Okay? Don't get despaired. He's delaying. Don't give up. Let me give you John chapter 11. They sent for Jesus. They called upon Him. You know what He did? He delayed. He stayed where He's at. They didn't understand it. But you and I have been blessed by it, and millions of other people have been blessed by His delay. The third thing about prayer, and this is a big one. Now, this one I like. I love this. He'll answer, but it'll be different than you thought. it won't be like you thought. This one here has gotten to where it's fun to me. He said, my ways are not your ways and my thoughts are not your thoughts. Been a long time since I've preached about the birth of a vision, the death of a vision, and the supernatural resurrection of vision. But it's all the way through the Bible, and almost every major person in the Bible went through the birth of their vision, the death of that vision, and the supernatural resurrection of that vision. Nobody enjoys the death of their vision. But what happens when he resurrects that vision, he usually answers your prayer and does what you wanted him to do, but he does it in a different way than you ever dreamed. And you know what I've discovered? It's always, every time, so much better and so much neater than what I was asking him to do and how to do it. His ways are not my ways. His thoughts are not my thoughts. And I want to encourage you tonight. You may say, well, God didn't answer me directly and God's delaying and it didn't happen like I asked him to. Praise God, because that might have been a train wreck for you.
Yeah.
He'll answer it differently than you think for. And I mean that with all my heart. He will answer it differently. Can I tell you something? This very work right here that you're setting in tonight is all different. It's different than I prayed. I prayed for God to do some things, but he didn't do it like I thought he was going to do it. He did it differently. Yeah, way better. Way better. In business, in finances, just almost, I'll be honest with you, most major things in my life, he always answers them different than I'm praying, Terry. Because I think he says, you know not what you pray for. You know not what you ask. So I want to encourage you tonight. Don't get discouraged. Don't get discouraged because it's delayed. And don't get and have an expectation. It may not be like you think it's going to be answered, but it's going to be better than you ever dreamed. And then there's a fourth thing on answered prayer. And you better get this one. Does anybody guess? Denial. That's right. Sometimes God will answer direct. Sometimes God will delay. Many times he answers differently. But sometimes he says, nope, we ain't doing that. You say, well, God didn't answer. Yes, he did. He said, no. Amen. Amen. Now, how many of you lived long enough to say, thank God he didn't answer yes? How many of you in here said, thank you, Lord, I was asking you to let me marry that girl, and you didn't let me marry that girl, and I praise you forever for it. Or, Lord, I was wanting to marry that boy, and you didn't allow that to happen. And God, I bless and glory, amen, that you didn't let that happen. But I'm going to tell you something. You don't even know tonight how many things God's kept you out of by saying no. You don't know how God's protected you by saying no and blessed you by saying no. We ain't going to do that. We're not going to do that. I ain't going to bring that around. Not going to do that. That's not what's best for you. You see, God sees the future, and you and I don't. God knows what he'd look like, sweetie, but when he is 42, you don't. God knows what he'd act like at 50, and you don't. Well, we're about done. Let's pray. How about that? Now, here's what I'm going to do tonight, closing this out. If your daddy and mama's here tonight, I want you to go to them, and I want you to ask them to pray for you. Okay? Real brief. Don't spend over 15 seconds. You can pray for God to whoop your son that fast. Lord, chastise him. I'm serious with you. I'm going to tell you something. The greatest thing you're ever going to do is pray. 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 And let's pray. Pray with confidence. Pray with the right conditions. And pray understanding that the consummation of the prayer could be no, could be delayed, could be different than what you think. God might just send it on its way. And you just say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And have a happy prayer life. Amen. Y'all, let's take a vote on it. How many here would like to have a happy prayer life? All in favor, say aye. All opposed, say no. Okay, the ayes have it. We're going to have a happy prayer life. Okay. It was just that simple, wasn't it? So I want you not, if your daddy here, your mama's here, if your mom or daddy, I want you just to go say, Daddy, I want you to pray for me. Just pray for and do it real quick, okay? We're going to do it right now. Listen, do we have to play soft music for you to do this? You have to. No, we don't have to.